I do want to talk today for just a little bit about honoring God and honoring country. And I'd like to share with you a verse of scripture from Psalms 104, verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." And I appreciate that because that tells me just exactly what God is. In order for us to honor means to hold in high esteem or to revere. So when I'm talking about I want to honor God, it means that I have to revere God. I have to hold God in very high esteem. If I'm going to honor my country, then that means that I must also hold my country in very high esteem. This being true, if we're to honor God, we have to do something to express our true regard for the Lord. Because honoring God is not doing nothing. Honoring God is doing something. And to me, it should be something very important. When I begin to think about that, I begin to realize that there's an old adage that says, actions speak louder than words. Now, when Johnny and I were at Sweet Harbor together several years ago, there was a saying that went around up there that said, "I had rather see a sermon any day than I had hear one." So when I want to talk about honor, I don't want to hear the words. I want to see the action. And that's what we're going to do today. It's what we're going to talk about today. Before we can ever show honor, the first thing I want to share with you is that I have to make a decision. Notice I said I. Because this is an individual thing that every one of us has to make a decision that we want to recognize God as being worthy of our worship and our praise. We make a determination whether or not we will honor God or not. No one can make me honor God. No one can make you honor God. This is a choice that you make for yourself. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created." There's absolutely nothing that exists today that God did not make. And if God created everything and the Bible tells us that it was created for His pleasure, then we should ask ourselves the question, well, why am I here to begin with? Except it's for the sake of God. When I began to think about these thoughts, these ideals that I'd like to share with you today, I want to tell you that we need to understand how that we honor God. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12 says, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever." It's not just any God, it's our God. I wish our nation today would recognize the fact that God is our God. I am so fearful that we have gone astray from that and that we no longer realize and recognize we have a God above because we've left God. One of the ways that I'm going to suggest today that we show honor to God is by honoring our country. Now I'll make a few stipulations along the line as we go. But one of the ways that I'm going to show that I honor God is because I'm going to honor my country. God's love, God's care for Israel is very clearly shown throughout the Scriptures. And God blessed them so much. And after God blessed them so much, Israel became so entrenched and their own laws, and their own traditions, that they pushed God aside. And they were not as faithful and fruitful to God as God had intended. They forgot something that I'm afraid America is forgetting today. They forgot that God controls the destiny of nations. All I have to do is look back and Babylon and see the things that happened to Babylon. God controlled the destiny of Babylon. Even Israel itself. I look at Israel and I see the things that he went through and the bondage that he encountered and how that it separated itself from God. God controlled their destiny. They were unaware of what was happening later. We talk about the great Roman Empire. Do we realize what brought about the demise of the Roman Empire? And I make a comparison today of America and those things that were so valuable and so great, so important to the Romans. And how did their fall came? God was responsible for the destiny of Rome, America. And I think sometimes I heard someone say, America is not too late. I hope it's not. I hope we realize that America, that it's not too late, but I'm afraid that we're so very quickly are going the way that we ought not to go and how important that it is that we're going the direction that God wants us to go. Lessons that we need to learn. And one of the lessons that I need to learn today, by honoring God, I honor my country. I love America. America is one of the greatest countries that I know. Even with all the faults that it has. But let us be reminded, it needs to be an America of God. We need to come back and we need to remember the formula that this great country was established upon. I want to share that with you today. I want to talk about that today. I want us to realize just exactly what God has in store for us. And since we realize that God controls the destiny of nations, we talk about our government sometimes. Because many times when we talk about our government, we're talking about our country. I'd like for you to take your pencil, your paper, your Bible. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans. I'd like to share with you chapter 13. I'd like to begin reading to you at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also. For they that are God's ministers attend continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I look and I think about these things and I realize that God teaches us His approval of government. And He tells us, just like Brother Scott, last period, He teaches us the importance of us being in subjection to our leadership. It is important today that we respect our leadership. It is important today that we see those things that are so necessary for it to be carried out and carried on. Now, what other things do we find that are involved in what the Roman author has just told us? He said, number one, it is our duty to be in subjection to them. Second of all, it is our duty to respect them. Third of all, it is our duty to pay taxes. And finally, it is our duty to honor them. And the point that the Roman author makes here is that this is based upon, one, practice. Two, upon our conscience. But most of all, let me tell you that it is based upon the fact that it is God's will. Because God has told us that this is what He expects of us. Now, what did He tell us? He told us that there are a number of areas where honor is due. Somebody says, well, what can I do for my country? What can I do for the leaders of my country? Have you ever thought about the lesson that Jesus taught about the importance of prayer? Now that James talked about prayer, how that Paul talked about prayer. You know, one of the things that I feel like that we're not doing nearly enough of today is I feel like one thing we ought to do, we ought to be praying for our country. Matter of fact, when Paul was writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I begin at verse 1, and here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You see that? It talked about our government. It talks about those that are in authority. And he says that we ought to pray for them. Because that's our responsibility that we do these things. Second of all, I know we all fuss sometimes about taxes. And how high priced and how outlandish that they may be. But yet the scriptures teach us that we are to pay our tribute, that we're to pay our taxes. I remember when that a group of people were questioning Jesus, and they were probably trying and tempting Jesus. In the book of Matthew chapter 22, they were asking Him about paying tribute or paying taxes. And here's the answer that Jesus gave them. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Remember just a moment ago that we read from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. He tells us that this is a responsibility that we have. Just like He told the Romans, He said, this is your responsibility. And this is what we are to carry out because this is what I want done. How many of us today realize how unfortunate that we would be if we did not have a government such as we have, that we have a government that could not take care of the things that needs to be taken care of? Since these things are authorized by God, and since God has commanded that we do these things, we should not complain nearly so much as what we do. Now sure, I realize that there should be a reckoning. Sure, I realize that there should be questions that we ask. But I feel like also that we should not be quite as spiteful as what we are. Third of all, we ought to obey the laws of the land. This is an important thing. In 1 Peter, call your attention to chapter 2, and I want to begin reading at verse 13. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You know, when I was given this topic, I wasn't sure just exactly how much information I was going to have. And then all of a sudden I discovered there's a wealth of information and we hardly ever cover it. We need to talk about these things. We need to put these things into action in our lives. And if we do this, our country might actually become a better place to live. It might be a time that we practice Christianity, and this Christianity that we put comes a little stronger. I mean, that's the same point that Paul made to the Romans, Romans 13:1, wasn't it? Read that a minute ago, and we talked about that. So these are things that he tells us. Now, what I would like to do, if you'd permit me to, I'd like to add something. I'd like to add that what we're talking about, all this obedience that we give to the government and all the things that we're told to do, now I realize there might come a time, there might come a place that us obeying the laws of the land might conflict with the laws of God. So if that's going to be the case, what do we do then? And I realize we have laws today that do conflict with God. I don't know about you, but I certainly hope you feel the same way that I do. I am not an advocate of abortion. And yet it's the law of the land. And I think this law of the land violates God's law. And this being the case, then you and I as Christians have responsibility that we stand up against those things. And it's not just that, but there are several other things also that encompasses things that Christians ought not to do. So then, those things, we do not abide by those things. And yet we can still be in peace and harmony as we practice those things that God has given us to do. So as long as those things are not in opposition to God's law, we obey them. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, I want you to note this with me. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now what's this in response to? This is in response to the fact that they have been preaching Jesus Christ. And as they've been preaching Jesus Christ, they're caught. And they're brought up. And they're told, do not preach His name anymore. We could live in a time that we could be told the same thing. It may be closer than you think. In a lot of countries, it's true right now. In America, the direction we're going, it could be true very shortly. Don't think that I'm making this up. It's fact. And I appreciate the fact, the answer that Peter gave. He said, he obeyed the laws of the land till it came to this point in time. And he said, now, if it's God or if it's man, I choose God. I remember something that Joshua said in the long ago. When he's talking about himself and his family, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I wish I could just say, how many of you today, given a choice, is going to serve God no matter what? And I look and I think about it and I realize this is just exactly what they did. I hope that I never live in a time, I hope you never live in a time, that we have to go underground, that we have to be afraid at night because we're Christians. But if that time does come, I hope that every one of us will have the courage, the faith, and the conviction to be Christian, to obey God. So 4:18 says, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And the very next thing you know, they were preaching Jesus. How many of us today would have the courage if a policeman came out to our house and knocked on the door and said, "So you're Mr. So-and-so, and you claim to be a Christian, and you're preaching the Bible. You can't do that anymore. How many of us would go out the very next day and preach Jesus? I hope y'all would. Because that's what we're told to do, and this is where we have to go, and this is what He's given us to do. So they didn't obey God, and they kept right on preaching Jesus Christ. Therefore, the things that were wrong, they did not obey. But listen, we're obligated to keep Christian values, making sure that we act according to God's Word and not man. Additionally, talking about honoring our country, I was thinking about various ways that we could honor our country in addition to the things that we just mentioned. And I thought about the fact that America's a great country, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with us honoring our country with the Pledge to Allegiance, as long as they leave the allegiance alone and we keep it to have one nation under God. Because I think that's what we should do. I think that's what we should have. So if we're going to pledge allegiance to the United States of America, we remember that it is one nation under God. Because that's the way God would have it. Next of all, I see nothing wrong with honoring our country with songs. I think one of the greatest songs ever written that's not a spiritual song, that's not a gospel song, is God Bless America. I love that song. Because it has a very special place in my heart. And I do want God to bless America. In the late 60s and early 70s, there was another song that came out that said, realize the contention we had in America, especially about the Vietnam War. And so a song came out, and it was God Bless America Again. And there was a time that, yes, God needed to bless America again. More recently, there's another song that came out, and it's entitled God Bless the USA. God needs to bless the USA. Well, we have to understand that God's only going to bless the USA in proportion to what we honor Him. Don't be mistaken about it. He's going to do this. It's time. It's time. We stand up as Christians. And that we be counted for justice, for truth, and for righteousness. Those things. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 34, it tells us very plainly, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That was true in Solomon's day, and it is true today. Righteousness does exalt a nation. Sin is a reproach. I look around and I see sin. I see sin in abundance. We need to be aware of what these things are. You know, I would hate to think that it would be my fault if someone missed out on salvation. There's a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. We as Christians have to lead the way. I don't listen to a verse that's said in the Old Testament. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It's a choice we make. Are there more people today not walking the way than there are walking the way? Are there more people today that's not standing where they need to stand? We're not firmly established or planted upon the Word of God? It is. That just means one thing. That just means that you and I have to work a little harder. Third of all, we must act to honor God. And we do honor God through actions and not just words. There have been many examples throughout the writing of the Old and New Testament alike of people that have decided to give honor and glory to God. Solomon. I turned to 1 Kings chapter 5 and I began to read about Solomon and how he was given the opportunity. But he was going to build the house of God. And Solomon was so excited about the fact that he was going to get to build the house of God that David was going to do, but now then Solomon's going to build it. And so Solomon goes about to build the house of God. Solomon set out to do good. And yet, as he was building the house of God, God gave him some specifics as to what he wanted. And the one thing that Solomon apparently missed, that there was something that God wanted more than just the house. God wanted Solomon's heart, and he told him so. And he told him that if he did not have his heart, if he was not obedient to him, then he would destroy them. We know the story of Solomon. We know that he left God, that he took unto himself foreigners, wives. And this is something God said, do not do. It brought about the downfall. I think about all the lessons that we're taught and all the things that he tells us. And so God's service, God's honor needs to come from our hearts. When I look at it, he says, how do we honor God? Divine revelation and nature shows us that all of creation is to honor and glorify God. Reading in Psalms 19, verses 1 and 2, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handwork. Day unto day, utter a speech. Night unto night, showeth knowledge. What do you and I today do to honor God? There's a lot of ways we honor God today. We honor God, first of all, with our time. We honor God today with our money. Kind of touchy, wasn't it? We honor God today with our ability. We honor God today with our pattern of life. We honor God today with our devotion. We honor God today with Bible study. These are all things that we can do. These are all things that God has told us. But you know, we honor God first through Jesus Christ. Hadn't thought about that one. We honor God first through Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to realize, and that's what I want us to do today, that we honor God through Jesus Christ. How important that it is that we put this into practice. You know, God was never honored more than through Christ. I mean, the Bible even tells us this. The Bible teaches us and shows us that this is the case, that God was never honored more than through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, I'd like to share with you verse 4 and verse 5. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, I look at this and I realize how that Christ has brought himself to mankind. How Christ has brought himself to the world and all the things that Christ has shown us. And Christ has shown us a pattern of honoring God. So all I have to do, I suppose, is just kind of look at Jesus and think about what Jesus did and say, hey, I can do that. But if I'm going to honor God, I have to know this, that God is still honored through Christ today. When Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:11, he wants us to understand that when we're talking about honoring God, that we honor God because we've honored Christ. And he says, if any man speak, Let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I realize today, if I ever honor God, it's going to be because I'm doing it through Jesus Christ. We honor God today with the fruit of our lips. I enjoyed singing. I enjoyed listening to the singing today, because I know that God is pleased with the simple outpouring of sincere psalms, hymns, and praises in worship to Him coming from our hearts. And that's the key. To ever give God honor, everything must come from our hearts. I remember when I was a little kid that there was a verse of Scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 66, that they always like for us to learn to memorize so we could quote it. In verses 1 and 2 says, "Make a joyful noise unto God." I never got beyond that stage. Some people sing beautifully. I make a noise. And I firmly believe that God is just as pleased with my noise as He is with beautiful singing. Because that's what God's told us. He said, "This is what I want you to do." And so, everybody's do it, all you lambs. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. The lesson I learned is that our attitude. We talk about attitude today. We talk about kids with attitudes. We talk about adults with attitudes. Everybody's got an attitude. And I'm going to tell you, our attitude makes a huge difference in our honor and worship toward God. When we come to worship God, what kind of attitude do we have? Do we come to worship God in humility and in loving kindness? We don't ever want to come to worship God and be mad about something that we've totally forgot about what we came together for to begin with. We're not giving God honor when all we're thinking about is somebody wrong me or me. What I could be doing here. That's not honoring God. We need to pray today that God's will be fulfilled in our lives. It's God that has given us our life. So therefore, we should use it for His honor. We do honor God by the way that we live. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I appreciate so much, because it tells us what we as Christians ought to be and what we as Christians ought to do. And it tells us the very first thing that ought to be most important in our lives is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." There's nothing else that's more important than me seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because I realize everything else is going to come to me. I talked about Solomon a little while ago. I'd like to talk about Job. If I ever read about a man of God, it was Job. And Job honored God, and he honored God greatly. He went through everything he went through, and yet he loved God. He obeyed God. People talk about the patience of Job. I want to talk about the dependability of Job. I want to talk about how that he endured. And does not the Scriptures tell us that about something about enduring all things for Christ's sake? That's what a Christian does. So how much endurance have we got? How much enduring are we doing? But God was honored by Job just because of the way that he lived. In the book of James, it talks about pure religion. And I was reading that not too long ago, and the thought crossed my mind, you know, you're talking about religion. And used to, you had pure religion, and James tells us just exactly what we do with pure religion. And then we had impure religion, which is false doctrine, false worship, and what people do there. Our country today, I've looked and I've seen a third and it's non-religion. And that may be a greater danger than what we have encountered from false religion. And I realized that, you know, I was so concerned about it, and I realized this is nothing new. Matter of fact, in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, we'll look at verse 6. A son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I'll be a father, where is my honor? And if I'll be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And to be offered the blind sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And I go through and I look at these things that God is talking about, and he's telling us how horrible the things that they're doing, because they're just simply cutting him out. And they're not worshiping him and not doing him the things that he's done. You realize today we dishonor God by the way that we live? Or do we dishonor God by the way we live? Do we put God first in everything? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 9, Solomon tells us, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. What we really need to do today is we need to accept the fact that we need to obey God. If we love God, we are going to keep His commandments. That's fact. Now then, if it tells me, on the other hand, that I'm not keeping His commandments, what does that tell me? It tells me that I don't love God. And what hurts so much is I look around the world today and I see a multitude of people that's not obeying God. And then I start thinking about the fact that when God was talking about those being saved and Christ said, few there be that find it, then that begins to tell me that very, very few people are going to make it. And I can equate the number few. Because when he was talking about the great flood, it says wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved out of an entire world of people. God may be a loving God, but God is a very strict God, and God wants us to recognize the fact that when he tells us something, he's going to do it. God doesn't lie. So I follow through, and I know that God tells me, and he says, all these things we ought to do. Matter of fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, he asked a question. Maybe this question we need to answer today. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 17, I want to leave this lesson with you. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Thank you.